Great monuments aren't always great concert halls. The Philadelphia Inquirer's David Patrick Stearns recently visited the 11th century Canterbury Cathedral in England and came to learn a new way of listening.
Music acquires a particular aura when played in sacred spaces, partly because many of them have such radiant acoustics. But in Canterbury Cathedral, it's hard to imagine that a millennium of accumulated worship within its walls doesn't also impact how music is played and heard. On a recent Saturday, the evensong service with the cathedral's own boy choir had great concentration and profound beauty in an enclosed section of the building near the candle that's kept burning in memory of Thomas Becket's murder in the cathedral. Later that evening, the Beethoven Missa Solemnis by the Canterbury Choral Society was quite another matter. That concert took place in a part of the cathedral where the reverberation time is akin to sound echoing through an alpine mountain range. Few choral works are as dense and as eventful as the Missa Solemnis. How much could you actually hear? 60%, perhaps? Apart from what you heard, how much of the music did you actually feel? Many of us listen analytically. We hear the notes first and then feel their emotional impact. In Canterbury, you felt many of the notes without hearing them, a different but legit experience. Of course, such spaces create huge practical problems. The Canterbury Choral Society seemed quite used to it. But the accompanying Royal Philharmonic Orchestra had one tough gig and fodder for future war stories. Well, we all have our own Canterbury tales, whether sacred or profane. And in that spirit, on the train ride back to London, we shared them. Not gossiping about orchestra conductors we know, but discussing the facts. Charles Dutoit's curious hairdo, for example.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.